My name is Garland Robinson. We read in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Friend, did you know that that's the only time the word eternity is found in the Bible? In this one place, Isaiah 57 verse 15, we mention the word eternity. But at the same time, we need to make no mistake about it. The truth of it is found from cover to cover throughout the Scripture. Eternity, I guess, is one of those words that perhaps we'll never really comprehend as long as we are alive in this world. For example, do you know what it's like to be on your deathbed? To have the doctor to come in and tell you that you only have a few hours to live. There's no way we could really know what that means until we're faced with it. Well, the idea of eternity, there's no way really we can comprehend that until we're actually there. I want to look at some things the Bible says is very clear and very plain about eternity and things concerning the future. For one, we need to recognize that death is not the end. Man will live again. That when we die in this world, there's another life to come. There is a continual existence. There is a consciousness beyond the grave. For those who have obeyed the Lord and lived according to His instructions, they will go out into eternity, into that place called heaven, a place of comfort and peace, a place of tranquility, a place where we can worship and praise God throughout all of the realm of eternity. And then on the other hand, those who have not obeyed the gospel, those who have sinned and never received forgiveness of it in this world, likewise, when they die, they'll go out into eternity, and it'll be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It'll be a place of excruciating pain and torment and punishment for the wicked deeds they have done. So, when we die, there is an existence beyond the grave. Moses died physically, yet we learn about his existence. He still was alive. He was still conscious. In the book of Matthew, chapter 17, and verses 1 to 3, in a place that we call the Mount of Transfiguration, we read this, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him." Here was a period of 1,500 years after the time of Moses, and yet Moses was there. He was alive and appeared. Here was 700 years after the time of Elijah, and yet here he is. He is there. He is alive. So that tells us there's life beyond the grave. Jesus tells us the same thing in John the 14th chapter and verses 1 to 3. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Notice the Lord tells his disciples, which in turn is word to us, there's life beyond the grave. The Lord was going to prepare a place out of this world, beyond the realm of the material, the physical, and it would be a spiritual place. And he said, "I'm going to prepare this place, and if I go and do that, I'll come again and receive you. I will take you there to that place." Now, I want to go there, don't you? I imagine a lot of people want to go there, but they're not willing to live the life that's necessary in order to get them there. Jesus also taught concerning the resurrection of the dead one day, and that there would be a judgment of the wickedness or the righteousness or one's deeds. There is life beyond the grave. In John the 5th chapter, in verse 28 and 29, we read, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, I don't know when that day is or that time is. You don't know when that day or time is. No one knows. That has never been given unto man to know when that'll be. Now, a lot of people think they do. They think they have gone through the Bible and researched and studied and been able to determine exactly when that's going to be. And they say that even now they're telling us that the world conditions, things going on in this world, that those are signs showing that the end of time is near. When the Lord said himself, no man knows when that will be. And we do know one thing, that whenever one sets a date, whenever one says, here are some things to look at and we're nearing the time, we know that's not so. Because the Lord said, nobody knows that. But he did reveal to us the certainty of our death, the certainty of this world coming to a close, and the certainty of everyone who has ever lived, they will be raised from the dead. For he says the hour is coming in the which all, not just some, not just a few, but all who are in the grave shall come forth, and they will stand before the judge of all the earth and have to answer for how they have lived in this life. The Apostle Paul taught there was life beyond the grave. By inspiration he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course." He said, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but all them also that love his appearing." Here is the occasion that we think of Paul nearing the end of his life. He was killed because of his faithfulness to the Lord. Don't know exactly how old he was. It doesn't matter. Except he recognized he was soon going to die. And he took a survey of his life. He looked back over the deeds he had done. And he said, "I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to stand before the judge of all the earth." He said, "I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And he said, "I know because it's been revealed unto me that there is a crown of life in heaven. There is life beyond the grave." We find in the account of the rich man and Lazarus that Lazarus was shown to be in a place of paradise, a place of comfort, whereas the rich man, on the other hand, was in a place of torments. Death is not the end. In Luke chapter 16 and verses 19 to 31, when the Bible tells us about that certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, he fared sumptuously every day. He was uncaring about that beggar named Lazarus, which sat at his gate full of sores. And the Bible says it came to pass when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Lazarus afar off. And he desired his folk to Father Abraham, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." For you see, they each had died. Here they were beyond the grave. There was a consciousness there. And Lazarus, the Bible says he was in comfort. And the rich man, he was in torments. And the Bible says between the two, there was a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from one place to the other, one side to the other, could not, because it was fixed by God. Even the rich man desired that Lazarus may go back to his father's house. And he says, I have five brothers. I know they're going to come to this terrible place of torment unless they hear the truth and obey it. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That is, they have the Word of God. They have the law. Let them hear the Word of God. They have access to it just like everyone else. And yet it was replied by this rich man, oh no, they won't believe that. If one rose from the dead, they'd believe. But yet God tells them through Abraham, if they don't believe the Word of God, if they won't accept the Bible, then they wouldn't believe if one rose from the dead. What a sad thing that is. When people have today the Word of God, the Bible, they have those who are faithful children of God that are showing them what is right. We're warning people about eternity. We're telling them they better live right in this world now if they expect to go to heaven when they die, and they still choose not to. They're looking for the stupendous. They're looking for something out of the ordinary. But the Bible says the way to heaven is plain, is simple. It is simply to obey the gospel. Friend, are you obedient to the gospel of Christ? Do you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If so, why not repent of your sins? Change your thinking, your mind about it, which will lead to a change of life. Confess faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of those who will follow Him, and then submit to being immersed into water for the forgiveness of your sins. Unless you do that, there's no way you can be saved. You will die in your sins, and the Bible says that where the Lord is gone, you will not be able to go. So why not obey the gospel? Why not take inventory of your life? In view of eternity, that place where man will live again, unless you obey now, you'll not have the opportunity later. This has been Garland Robinson.